This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DeMatte. A plan to enhance how Miami-Dade public schools teach about racism drew a racist backlash last week. The school board was flooded with hundreds of calls and messages opposing the plan, including some that were riddled with misinformation and fear-mongering. As WLRN's Jessica Bakeman reports, the response reflects a history of denial of anti-black racism in Miami-Dade County, where race relations are more complicated than just black and white.
The proposal was to review the Miami-Dade District's curriculum on racism and multiculturalism, improve how schools teach anti-racism, and empower a student task force to tackle the issue. Perla Tabaris-Hantman is chair of the school board, which approved the plan 8-1.
I'm anything but naive or innocent, but I am very, very surprised by what has happened.
What happened was, before the vote, she and her colleagues received more than 200 written comments and 400 phone calls about the proposal, many in opposition.
To be very, very conservative, I would say 70 or 80% of the time, it was all total misinformation and offensive to the board members.
Some board members said they were accused of trying to indoctrinate children, like Fidel Castro did in Cuba. And copy and pasted messages were circulating on Facebook and WhatsApp that were just lies. They said the school board wanted to require a curriculum developed by Black Lives Matter activists, and also that it would include teaching about homosexuality and transgender issues. These are some of the comments. Quote, "I do not want anyone in school teaching our children about this garbage." One said, "We are a multicultural community. We do not present systemic racism. It is totally false." Another said, "We should teach children about, quote, real American history." And this one, "I know Black people in America have faced oppression in the past, long, long time ago, but that has been overcome. Example of that, Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal." Some of these comments were in Spanish, and many of the commenters' names are Hispanic or Latino.
There's a long, I think, tradition of celebrating Miami as this kind of multicultural melting pot, but celebrating it uncritically and without much of a sense of Miami's very fraught history with regard to race and ethnic relations.
Michael Bustamante is a professor at Florida International University. He's Cuban American and focuses on the history of Cuba and its diaspora.
There's a lot of denialism on this history. The anti-black biases, prejudices that are kind of baked into Latin American cultures that folks bring with them from their countries of origin that are then sort of passed down through generation, that are then reinforced by the experience of living in a city that is very much residentially segregated, certainly along black and non-black lines.
The response to the proposal for anti-racism education, and also the school board's own debates about it, quickly brought to the surface these racial and ethnic fractures throughout Miami-Dade. Marta Perez is the only school board member who voted against the plan. She's Cuban American. She said schools are already doing enough to address racism.
In my opinion, this school district is a shining example throughout the years of inclusion in all matters, including race, ethnicity, disabilities, etc. If there has ever been a wrong, we have stepped up and corrected it very, very quickly.
Perez said this in response to the proposal's sponsor, fellow school board member Dorothy Bendross Mindingall, who herself was a victim of the school board's racism in the past. In 1947, the school board and the city of Miami evicted her family and 34 other black families from their homes in the Railroad Shop Addition neighborhood. They took the land by eminent domain under pressure from racist white neighbors and built an all-white school.
I'm the little girl who was put out of my house at 3 years old in the rain so that they could build a school. How dare you? How dare you? It didn't stop there.
It did not stop there. The Miami-Dade School District, like a lot of districts around the country, was under a federal desegregation order until the 2000s. FIU professor Michael Bustamante.
I mean, one thing that I'm sort of constantly amazed by in the way that the story of Miami often gets told, particularly with regard to the Cuban community here, of which, you know, I'm a part, is how disconnected the story of the Cuban arrival is in the 60s from the fact that at that very moment, Miami is still in the throes of the civil rights struggle, right? These histories are often told on totally separate tracks, and yet they intersect in all kinds of ways. There were black schools, there were white schools, and in the 60s, you know, Cuban children who in Cuba, very clearly their families saw themselves as white, but may have been seen as off-white or other, they find themselves being allowed, sort of in a de facto way, to go to white schools.
And in the 1970s, Cuban exile parents were among those who protested busing for integrating schools. Last week, some of the comments about the school board's proposal said conversations about racism should happen at home, not at school. Dwight Bullard says that thinking is misguided. He's black, and he's a former Miami-Dade social studies teacher and state senator.
Those conversations can and will be happening in places like school cafeterias and school classrooms, just like they've been happening for decades.
He says teachers should be guiding these conversations and helping students understand the historical context around social issues like racism. And that's why he thinks the focus on anti-racism in schools is long overdue.
Being anti-racist means that you are actively pushing back against those systems of oppression that have kept people down for so long.
I can no longer keep up with the calls and the requests from churches, synagogues, mosques, youth groups, unions, asking me to come in and facilitate an anti-racist history workshop.
Paul Ortiz is a history professor at the University of Florida. He's Mexican-American and teaches anti-racist workshops around the country, including with Hispanic or Latino communities in South Florida.
The Black Lives Matter movement has definitely created new openings for us to have more honest conversations, but I can promise you they won't be easy, especially initially.
Ortiz says that's why teaching kids about racism in school is so important. He actually feels hopeful that when people learn more about this country's history, and for immigrants, the histories of the countries their own families come from, those conversations about racism will get a little bit easier. I'm Jessica Bakeman in Miami.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.